The interest will fade. The pictures aren't exciting enough.
Though Nova had been eerily accurate about the body language. When the tabloid photo was taken, he'd been fighting the urge to wrap Silver's exhausted body in his arms and haul her off to his lair. His starlight was brilliant, and she was tough, but she was still flesh and blood. Silver's response to his rough attempt at reassurance wasn't what he expected.
From the comment thread on this article, it appears humans and changelings are responding well to the possibility of such an improbable romance. Unexpected.
Valentian's bear scowled inside him.
Not improbable.
With silence having fallen, Silver said, rather than replying to his grumble, I believe a percentage of Psi will also find it intriguing. There's certainly significant chatter in the Psi net for what should be nothing but a fringe topic. She ate a bite of the food on her plate.
It could end up being a positive.
Valentian's bear roared to the surface at this hint that she might be open to being his, the animal's thick fur attempting to erupt out of his skin.
What if I asked you to have a real romance?
He said, abandoning sneakiness for a directness that fit far better. Her response was quiet, potent.
I'm not like Sasha Duncan or Faith Nightstar, or even Vasek Zen. No,
he said, unable to look away from that crystalline gaze that made the bear inside him rise to the surface, his vision shifting to that of his animal.
You're Silver fucking Merchant, a woman who makes her own rules.
That woman chooses silence.
No hint of an expression on her face, her eyes searing, unreadable starlight.
I have access to all the data on the pros and cons of breaking silence, and I've downloaded all available information about what it is to be in a relationship. I've also had a close view of a highly stable relationship.
Caleb Krycek and his mate.
None of this changes your mind?
No.
She continued to hold his gaze. Not many people could do that, changeling or not. Yet Silver had never flinched, her dominance his equal. Thunder in his heart, man and bear both in her thrall.
The one thing that is often forgotten in the discussion about silence, she continued in that same quiet tone, is that terrible as it was for the many, for a small minority, it worked exactly as intended. I am one of that minority.
Chapter 20.
To be silent is to be without emotion. This emotionless state allows for a statistically significant increase in psychic control while having the opposite effect on any tendency or inclination to be violent. The silent will be an intelligent, controlled people who do not waste their energies on battles or wars or interpersonal aggression. They will be perfection.
Arif Adalaja's first speech to the Psi Council on the matter of the silence training proposed by the Mercury Group, late 20th century. Valentian knew Silver expected her statement to be the final word on the subject, but while he was conscious he could never make Silver Merchant do anything she didn't want to do, he also knew she'd never been up against an alpha bear who was fascinated by her on every possible level.
You sure you have all the information?
Catching an apple Chaos threw over, he bit into it with a crisp crunch. Silver's eyes went to his mouth. Flicked away as fast.
I'm very good at research.
Valentian's cock wanted to react. React hard. Chewing and swallowing the bite he'd taken as he fought his hunger for this smart woman who smelled more delicious than his favorite honey, he pulled out his pocket knife and began to cut a slice from the part of the apple he hadn't bitten into, all the while attempting not to fall into erotic daydreams of licking honey off his starlight skin. He'd die and go to berry heaven should that ever come true.
I don't doubt your skills,
he said.
But you're not the kind of woman who lets other people make her decisions for her.
You're being extremely subtle for a bear.
Valentin smiled inside because he was certain he could almost hear aggravation in her tone. Right now he'd take any emotion, and aggravation was a good one. Mates to bears often got aggravated. He held out the slice of apple. When she accepted it, he had to stop himself from beating at his chest like a gorilla, or a bear who'd succeeded in feeding his mate. Watching as she took a testing bite, her lips derailing his honey fantasy for another one that was all rough heat, Valentin had to scramble to find his brain cells again.
All I'm saying is, how can you possibly have all the data if you've never let go of your silence to see what happens?
I wasn't born silent.
I get that.
Though he still couldn't understand how anyone could train emotion out of a child. Children were huge, wild creatures full of promise and hope and dirt and mischief. How could anyone crush them into a box? From what he'd heard, it had been an act of desperation, even an act of love, but it remained difficult for him to comprehend. At the same time, it gave him a painful insight into how bad the situation must have been for the choice to be made. But Silver wasn't a child.
No child has control over their urges,
he pointed out.
Human, Psi, Changeling, doesn't matter the race. Cubs need rules and boundaries for a reason.
Silver finished her slice of apple, accepted another from him. This time, his bear stayed quiet, finally getting with the sneaky like a cat program. Today an apple, tomorrow ice cream, the next day licking honey from her body. It was all about strategy and stubborn bearish hope.
Agreed, the woman who fascinated him said after a long pause.
Valentin wasn't about to back off now.
After a child grows up, they begin to make their own decisions. I often do things my mother wouldn't have permitted while I was a cub. I use sharp knives. I go out alone in the dark. I drink too much.
Of course, the rare times when he did the latter, his grandmother still threatened to box his ears. His mother was alive, but gone. Lost to them in a way Valentin couldn't stand to think about too hard. The wounds on Galina Ivanova's soul were too grievous to allow her to fully exist in this world. He and his sisters did their best to reach her, but their mother preferred to roam Stonewater territory in her bear form. The last time he'd spotted her, she'd been asleep under the dappled shade of a poplar. She'd looked so peaceful that he'd left without disturbing her.
Valentin.
Realizing he'd gone silent, Valentin dug up a grin.
I think you're an adult, Starlight, and adults make choices a child never could.
Silver's eyes looked at him with a perceptiveness that threatened to strip him bare.
And I think you, Alpha Nikolaev, are far better at keeping secrets than anyone knows.
Valentin stopped playing. He locked his gaze with hers, let the bear rise to color his voice, his eyes.
To understand my secrets, you have to understand emotion.
The air shimmered with the words he didn't say, the challenge he'd laid down. Silver didn't look away. And his blood, it grew so hot it scalded. An hour later, Silver walked back alone to the stream where she'd seen the cubs playing in the water. She knew Valentin had an ulterior motive for his oh-so-rational argument. He'd made no attempt to hide his desire for her. He was also an alpha bear. Challenge was part of his psyche. Yet none of that negated his point. She hadn't ever attempted to live without silence as an adult in full control of her abilities. Was it possible she could safely use the sharp knife of emotion?
Silver.
Arwen, she said, her eyes on the water that sparkled under the morning sunlight. What did you find?
Nothing, but I've finally convinced Grandmother I'm definitely not the one who tried to kill you.
I'm sure Grandmother never believed otherwise. She was simply being cautious.
Ina had once told Silver that the family had been changing in subtle but terrible ways before Arwen's birth.
Without your brother, Ina had said, and given the powerful influence of the Psi Council and their mandates, we could well have crossed the line from ruthless to cruel. He is our conscience and our soul.
Whoever did this,
her brother said now,
they wanted clean hands, distance.
You know that only further implicates the family.
Merkins were experts at sleight of hand. Arwen didn't reply with agreement. None was needed at the self-evident fact.
I'm assisting Grandmother in every way possible, but so far there's not even a hint of a smoking gun.
No unusual financial or other transactions?
I dug deep. Nothing.
It's possible there are no external factors to find. It could have been a purely internal job. A power play.
On current data, that probability is medium to high. But why would anyone in the family want to harm you if they hadn't somehow been turned by outsiders?
Anger and frustration vied for supremacy in his voice.
No one else has your skill and financial expertise. Lose you and the family fortunes would dive.
Silver's skin grew suddenly sensitive, her head turning without her conscious volition.
I'll speak to you later, Arwen.
It was no surprise to see Valentian heading toward her, his big body at ease in this primal landscape. Because he was as wild, civilization a thin skin that he could shrug off without hesitation. Thrusting a hand through his hair, he came to a standstill in front of her.
Do you own a comb?
She asked, her eyes on the incongruously silky strands. Valentian shook his head, sending the strands flying.
There,
he said afterward.
It's neat now.
He sounded absolutely serious. Silver lifted her hand. He went motionless. Her fingers were a centimeter from pushing back the tumbled strands when data blasted her mind, picked up by the monitoring alerts she had in place. Explosives, unknown casualties, multiple strikes. In front of her, Valentian's gaze turned grim.
What's happened?
Attacks in Shanghai, in Berlin, and in Melbourne. Identical characteristics to the Moscow attack. Majority human casualties forecast, with limited but not zero Cyan changeling casualties.
Heart thumping in an uncontrollable physical response to the deluge of information, Silver nonetheless already had her phone in hand.
I have to activate MNET, get in touch with the people on the ground.
What do you need?
Valentian asked as they moved quickly back to Denholm.
A larger computer would be useful, at least two screens. A comm I can take over for the duration.
Follow me.
Silver began to make calls at the same time, alerting the nominated MNET contacts in the affected areas that she was aware of what had happened and was about to initiate the emergency network.
Send me local data, as much as you can, she told them. It'll help me mobilize the right resources.
Once inside Denholm, Valentian led her down several corridors to a medium-sized room set up with cutting-edge tech.
We use this for comm conferences. It should have everything you need.
Settling in and hooking up the system to MNET servers, Silver discovered the Stonewater system was higher spec than her MNET office. She was able to handle the triple emergencies with comparative ease, technologically speaking. The only issue was that she and her assistant were only two people. This needed at least five. Creating an MNET team would go to the top of her list after this was over. When hot nutrient drinks appeared at her desk through the hours that followed, she drank them. In a distant part of herself, she realized that this, too, was different. No one fed her when she was caught at home during a situation. She worked alone and in silence. Though no bears interrupted her today, she was aware of Pavel and Nova looking in on her. The bear male had silently added another screen to her system after seeing the amount of data she was handling, while Nova had left a high-energy nutrient bar on her desk.
You want my help?
Pavel asked at one point.
I'm not on shift for another 4 hours.
About to say no out of habit, Silver abruptly realized that would be foolish.
Yes, she said. That screen over there, can you collate the emergency data coming in and give me a précis every half hour?
Summarize.
Pavel pulled up a chair, his eyes already on the screen.
I don't like to brag, he bragged smugly. But I was the king of last-minute summaries for school essays.
She'd been concerned the gregarious bear would keep on speaking, but that was all he said, his focus on the work. She should have remembered that while bears could be rowdy, Stonewater wouldn't have become a power if they weren't also capable of intense concentration on things that needed to be done. He turned out to be as good at winnowing the data down into manageable bites as he'd boasted.
Are you in the market for a permanent position?
She asked after the first hour.
Yasha would cry if I left him.
Pavel kept his eyes on the screen in front of him, even as he spoke.
But maybe if you throw in your scrumptious brother as my bonus.
Arwin should be coming to see me again soon, Silver replied. If you're half the bear you claim to be, you'll get his call code from him.
Oh, that was a burn as cold as Siberia.
Pavel thumped his fist onto his chest, shooting her a dimpled grin over his shoulder at the same time.
I can melt a merchant, just you wait. I'm a bear.
With that, they returned to their work and to the dark reality of an emergency that could have no happy ending. Valentian didn't reappear after showing her to the tech room. It wasn't a surprise. She hoped he was catching some sleep, but knew it was unlikely. As the alpha of a large and powerful pack, he had multiple calls on his time and attention, which made it even more extraordinary that he'd come to see her at her apartment so many times. Regardless of all that, part of her listened for him. Valentian's heart was a pulsing ache when he returned from the part of Stonewater territory the dissenters called home. No matter how many days passed, the pain remained as hurtful as the day he'd first felt it. The day a quarter of his bears had rejected him to walk out into the cold. But despite the freshness of his hurt, time had passed. He'd soon have to make a final decision. His bear hung its head, its big body no shield against this wound.
Mishka!
Halting at the sound of that childish cry, he immediately tracked down a fresh trail of scents to find three unsupervised cubs, ages 6, 6, and 7. All tiny gangsters. He scowled and folded his arms.
What is Arkasha doing?
He asked, nodding at the furry butt hanging out of a hole in a stone formation. It was hard to keep a straight face as those little legs kicked and the butt wriggled.
He's stuck!
Sveta cried.
We were going to explore the cave, but the hole's too small.
Biting the inside of his cheek to choke off his laughter, Valentian raised an eyebrow at the other miscreant.
Why is Arkasha so shiny and slick?
His fur looked like it had been slicked down with hair conditioner, but that wasn't what Valentian's nose was telling him. Fitzpatrick Hayden William, tiny owner of a very long name, took his hand from behind his back to reveal a familiar wrapper.
We thought if we rubbed him with butter, he'd slide in, he admitted.
Did you ask Chaos for that butter?
Two shaking heads while the butt went still, Arkasha in full listening mode.
We'll talk about that later.
Valentian hunkered down by Arkasha's small body, patting his furry back to make sure the boy wouldn't get scared. He considered their options. Despite his antics and hanging upside down on the tree the other day, Arkasha was too young to have fully mastered semi-shifting, or Valentian would have asked him to shift parts of his body to his smaller human form, which left only one option.
I'm going to crack the stone,
he told the boy.
Close your eyes and duck down your head. Kick your left paw when you're ready.
The kick came nearly at once. Slamming the side of his fist against a section of stone that appeared the weakest, Valentian created a crack, then carefully wrenched off a piece. It left that edge ragged, and he had to act quickly to clamp his hand on Arkasha's side to protect him as the child wriggled free. Plopping down on his back, the cub lifted his paws to his face and sneezed. Valentian couldn't hold in his laughter any longer. Cracking up, he sat down with his back against the hole and opened his arms. Arkasha crawled into them at once, Sveta and Fitz slamming their bodies against Valentian's the next second. He held all three, calming the butter-covered cub and his friends from their fright. And his heart, it hurt a fraction less. When he returned to the den with the gangsters, after first blocking up the newly enlarged hole with stones they wouldn't be able to move, he marched them to the kitchen to confess their butter thievery. Chaos, hands on hips, gave them his patented glare.
No dessert tonight for any of you.
But it's gonna be midweek,
Arkasha said, his body clad in Valentian's checked shirt. The cub had destroyed his own clothes when he'd shifted from boy to bear and hadn't wanted to be a naked criminal. The sleeves Valentian had folded, but the tails dragged on the floor, giving him a woebegone look.
Yeah,
his friends said.
We love midweek.
Valentian loved the layered honey cake, too. Remaining unmoved, Chaos said,
That's why it's a punishment.
The clan's chief cook rubbed his jaw.
Or you can wash dishes all day.
Sveta gulped.
All day?
A big-eyed whisper.
Yes, or no cake.
All three cubs looked at one another, with Sveta the one who spoke.
We'll wash the dishes.
They swarmed Chaos, wrapping their arms around his legs.
We're sorry for taking your butter, Mr. Chaos.
Chaos's lips twitched above their heads at the attempt at formal address, his hands going down to rub the top of their heads. Valentian knew the imps would likely be asleep in a corner within 10 minutes of starting their dishwashing sentence, and that Chaos would care for them with the utmost gentleness. But every time they woke, he'd make them wash an unbreakable dish or two. In their cub minds, that would equal an entire day of hard labor. It'd be the talk of the tiny gangster circle for months. Right then, Arkasha tripped over the tails of Valentian's shirt and fell over onto his butt.
Ouch!
Come on.
Valentian hauled the cub up onto his back.
Let's go get you some proper clothes before you do your day in the salt mines.
What's a salt mine?
Arkasha asked, while Chaos put the other two felons to work at the sink. They had a bench to stand on. This wasn't the first time Stonewater had had to deal with miniature-sized gangsters. Valentian explained the concept of salt mines to his felon, got him dressed, then, after a stop to grab a fresh shirt for himself, dropped Arkasha off to serve his sentence. His heart lighter, he was about to find Silver, aggravate her just so she'd play with him in that icy sigh way, when Peter found him. This time, the problem wasn't a laughing matter. Chapter 21.
To be Alpha is to have a heart big enough to love every single member of your pack or clan. That is the one constant of all the strongest Alphas I've ever met. They are men and women with an astonishing capacity to love and to forgive.
Adrian Kenner, Peace Negotiator, Territorial Wars, 18th Century. Valentian didn't need Peter to lead him to the group of sullen teenagers. He could have followed their scents across the territory. He did, however, need his friend in other ways.
They're reacting to the fracture in the clan,
he said to his third in command as they stalked through the forest. Peter had ordered all 7 teenagers to stay where he'd left them, and he was dominant enough that they'd have obeyed. Now the other man nodded, the sunset colors of his hair glowing in the late afternoon light.
Yes, it's messing with their heads.
The other man blew out a breath.
Mina apparently attacked Olive when words were exchanged about Mina's aunt's family being traitors. Friends of both jumped into the fray. Fuck.
Valentian had tried to keep the problems to the adults, but while the cubs just asked after their missing friends, sad they couldn't play with them, the teens were old enough to understand this separation was shaping up to be permanent.
This isn't right, Petya. You know what I think.
His friend's voice was hard.
They made their choice. You've been too patient.
Valentian rubbed a fist over his heart.
I can't let them go without trying everything. They're part of me.
So many tiny threads, alpha to clanmate.
Cutting them loose will bloody us all. The dissenters did that when they made unfounded accusations.
Peter had never had any sympathy for the clanmates who'd turned against Valentian, perhaps because Peter's entire family had joined Stonewater when Peter was a child of 8, after they'd left their previous clan because the asshole Alpha had wanted Peter's much older sister and she'd said no. The Alpha had made Peter's sister's life so untenable that the family had made the decision to move. That Alpha had soon been toppled by a far better bear, but Peter's family had never returned to their old clan. They were violently loyal to Stonewater, which had taken them in with open arms. Peter, in turn, was violently loyal to Valentian.
Your heart's too big, Vala,
his childhood friend said.
No one has the right to stomp on it just because you have a capacity to forgive that shames the rest of us.
Valentian squeezed his friend's shoulder, his heart full of love for this man who was his brother in every way that mattered.
The time is coming. Until then, I need you to help me watch over them.
Peter said nothing on that point. It was understood that he'd always be there for Valentian, and vice versa.
What about the girls?
They're wounded too.
This wasn't ordinary teenage rebellion and angst.
Let me see them before I decide what needs to be done.
The instant he did, he realized battle fury was riding them yet. Changeling bears didn't often fight among themselves, but when they did, they were bloody-minded about it. 3 girls sat on one side of the forest clearing, 4 on the other. They glared daggers at one another. All their eyes were different shades of amber, their claws out and raking furrows in the earth.
Eyes here,
Valentian said in a tone that rumbled with his bear's presence. 7 heads snapped toward him, the girls getting to their feet and coming to attention. Not a word escaped their lips, though he could all but see the hot air building up in their brains, ready for an explosion.
Follow me,
he said without warning.
Petya, I have their ear.
Valentian took them on a run so grueling that by the time they returned to the clearing, every single girl collapsed into a limp heap. The anger was gone, extinguished by the burn of their lungs and the whimpers of their muscles. Someone moaned. Valentian ignored it, well aware of what these girls could take. They were dominants, every single one. Even more, they were all extremely physically fit. Hunkering down in front of them afterward, he said,
We're clan. We're strong only when we're clan, when we're one.
Mina looked at him with tears swimming in her eyes.
But they left us, she whispered. My own aunt and her family, they left us.
Her erstwhile opponent, Olive, put her arm around Mina's shoulders.
I'm sorry,
she said, her throat working as she swallowed.
I didn't mean what I said. I'm just mad because your aunt took Timur with her.
Timur was a teenage boy with whom Olive had been flirting up a storm before his family made the decision to move. As Valentian watched, Mina sniffed and patted Olive's knee.
I'm mad at them too, but they're my family. I have to defend them. I know.
Valentian ran his hand over Mina's hair, then Olive's.
I'm working on the situation.
They had a right to know what was going on.
There's still time.
Not much, but it wasn't all over. He wasn't about to give up on his divided clan. And he was never going to give up on his Starlight. His babushka Angela had once said to him that his middle name might as well be Obstinate. He'd taken it as a compliment. When he finally saw Silver again near dinner time, he had to bite back a rumbling growl. Purplish bruises under her eyes, lines of strain, it all spoke of exhaustion. She simply hadn't given her body and mind enough downtime after the poisoning. At least she appeared to be heading to her room.
"Have you eaten?"
he demanded, unable to help himself.
"Here."
He gave her a chocolate bar from his pocket before she could respond.
"Think of it as fuel."
"I did eat."
She didn't return the chocolate bar despite her statement. His bear settled.
"Rumor is a group called Hepma is taking responsibility for all 4 attacks."
Silver blinked, her fingers tight around the chocolate bar. "What?"
"Inside. Sit down."
He pushed open her bedroom door.
"Do you block off all other data while you're handling Mnet?"
She entered, took a seat on the bed without argument.
"Chert vosmoy."
His Starlichka had to be exhausted to the bone if she was following his orders. Placing the chocolate bar on the bedside table, she began to take off the little ankle boots she seemed to love. Valentian had asked Nova where she'd bought them, had placed an order for Silver so she'd have her own pair.
"It's the only way to handle the deluge," she told him. "I have to focus on facts and figures, on numbers of responders, on medical triage."
One boot off, she worked on the other.
"I do need a team, and I need it quickly."
He bent down to pull off the second boot for her, barely restraining the urge to take her slender foot in his hands, work the tension out of it.
"Nova's mad at you for going so hard when you haven't recovered from the poisoning."
He was mad too, but mostly he needed to take care of her. Since she was letting him, he could forget the mad.
"I wish I could argue with her."
She rubbed at her shoulders. Valentian's hunting instincts came to full wakefulness, but he didn't roar like a barbarian bear with no manners.
"Sneaky,"
he reminded himself.
"Be sneaky and wily. Want a massage?"
Rising, he attempted to look like the harmless teddy bear he'd told her to call him.
"I've got strong hands, and I promise to be a gentleman, unless you ask me to tear off your clothes and kiss every delectable inch of you." "Oh, Govno."
Why had he added that last? That was not harmless teddy bear behavior. Neither was it the least sneaky. Silver's mouth opened on what he glumly figured would be a firm rejection.
"All right."
It took him a frozen second to realize Starlight had given him permission to put his big, clumsy hands on her. Bear and man both wanted to throw back their head and howl like a deranged wolf. This made up for his entire hellish day.
"Over my clothing."
Silver was giving him a look that said she didn't entirely trust his vow to be a gentleman. Valentian smiled his most innocent smile, the one that made even hard-ass babushka Angela kiss him on both cheeks and call him her pretty little Mishka. His paternal grandmother clearly had vision problems, but Valentian wasn't stupid enough to point that out to her. Silver's eyes narrowed.
"No skin contact."
"You make the rules."
He kicked off his own boots in preparation to get on the bed behind her.
"You must ache a hell of a lot if you're allowing an uncivilized bear so close."
It was a tease to hide the thud of his heart, the raw need of his body. Valentian was well and truly hooked on his Starlight. Silver watched Valentian walk toward, then behind her, a large predator who took up all the air in the room, felt the bed dip as he got on. The heat of him buffeted her back in a thick wave that threatened to melt the ice in her veins, ice she'd looked at today and found wanting. In the short gaps between Mnet decisions, she'd thought about a single personal decision, come to a conclusion,
I've decided you're correct, she told him as the warm, heavy weight of his hands landed on her stiff shoulders, their size and strength unmistakable. It caused a hitch in her breath. She had to consciously think to finish her statement.
I can only judge the efficacy of silence if I test it now that I'm an adult.
Valentian's motionlessness reminded her once again that, playful or not, he was a bear alpha. Could be deadly.
Just like that?
His voice was so deep it vibrated in her bones.
There's no point in hesitating when a decision must be made.
Valentian began to knead at her with his hands.
Silver fucking merchant.
The words were the opposite of an insult, his tone drenched in primal admiration.
You're an alpha under your pretty soft skin, which I am not going to touch tonight.
Silver heard the want in the naked roughness of his voice, but her attention was on his touch. It was strong but controlled, the uncivilized bear clearly tempering his strength. It mattered little. The heavy burn of him sank into her flesh, soreness kneaded out as he unerringly read her body language to zero in on the worst spots. She could barely resist the temptation to close her eyes and just drift. Because Valentin Nikolaev was safe, would never harm her.
Hapma, tell me about it.
She was too mentally tired to trawl the Synet.
You need to sleep, Maya Solnishka, not think about this.
Again, Valentian's rumbling voice reverberated through her entire body, a now familiar sensation that felt oddly intimate.
But,
he added,
since I know my Starlichka will go looking if I don't tell her, I'll give you the lowdown. Hepma seems to have sprung up fully formed out of thin air.
Nothing this coordinated was thrown together in a few days.
The timing had been too precise, the strikes too coordinated.
The consortium may have a hand in it, but even if it doesn't, Hapma can't be a wholly new entity.
I agree with you, Starlichka.
The bear who was trying to seduce her brought his fingers perilously close to her neck, but didn't cross the line between clothed and unclothed skin.
Some twisted good has been planning this for a while.
Valentian, I know every curse word in your vocabulary, including mudok.
She pronounced the extremely impolite word exactly as she'd heard dock workers say it while she was supervising the unloading of a shipment during one of her training placements.
I was being a gentleman bear,
Valentian chided her.
My apologies,
Silver said in a solemn tone that had him rumbling at her and muttering about some telepaths being smart Alex.
Hapma,
Silver murmured several minutes later, her body leaning back into Valentian's without her conscious volition. Once she was in the position, the massive width of his chest a warm wall, she couldn't make herself move forward again.
H and P in the same acronym, she said after a yawn that caught her unawares. Humans against Psi?
Humans against Psi manipulation,
Valentian told her.
That's how the letters to the media were signed, emailed via public internet access points using throwaway accounts.
He dug deep. Silver's bones felt as if they were liquefying.
Bo told me the Alliance was sent the same emails.
Silver struggled to think past the lethargy invading her body and mind.
You appear on highly friendly terms with the security chief of the Human Alliance.
She had a good working relationship with Lily Knight, the Alliance's MNET liaison, but Bowen Knight was a man who tended to keep his own counsel.
We're family now,
Valentian said.
Bo understands what that means to a bear.
A gentler touch.
It means the same thing to a merchant.
Silver could find no reason to argue with him.
Hapma's targets make no sense, she said after forcing her eyelids open. The victims were mostly human.
Valentian dug into a particular spot. Endorphins flooded her bloodstream.
He was so warm. How could he be so warm and still want to wear clothes?
Letters said Hapma was said to cause harm to their own people.
Valentian's chest vibrated against her as he spoke.
But that if Trinity succeeds, humans will be eradicated or enslaved. Hapma is just giving everyone a sneak preview of how humans will be treated as disposable under this new totalitarian regime.
Fanatic logic.
No logic involved, Starlight. The Alliance put out a statement disavowing all knowledge of or support for Hapma.
Anything else I need to know? Moscow?
Is safe. Caleb, Selenka, and I had a security meeting before dinner.
The three alphas. Suddenly, despite the heaviness in her limbs and the fog in her brain, she understood something that had escaped her till now.
Though you and Selenka take responsibility for changeling access, neither of you consider the city part of your territories, do you?
We keep an eye on it, but it's Krychek's territory. Not much use to bears or wolves, so we let him have it.
Silver wondered what her lethal boss would think of that interpretation of things.
What did you three decide?
To let loose all our various spies with only one aim. Find the Hapma terrorist cell in Moscow, if one exists.
Silver had no doubts that they'd succeed.
They hit Moscow first for a reason. I think it was meant to show up Mnet in the city where its director is based.
Anger rolled through the deep timbre of his voice. Silver found herself patting his thigh.
They failed.
The muscle bunched under her touch. Breath no longer even, Valentian moved his hands to her upper arms.
Okay.
At her nod, he leaned close to her ear and whispered,
Imagine, Starlichka, how much better this would feel if you were naked.
Silver knew he was teasing her, the bear in him unable to maintain the good behavior. But she'd learned a few things after watching how the bears interacted with one another.
I've always been interested in sex, in why it causes such inexplicable and often irrational behavior.
Chapter 22. Regular sexual contact with another individual causes the formation of psychochemical bonds that are disruptive to silence. It is recommended that all such intimate contact be eliminated from Psi life. Practical application of the Silence Protocol, a study by Catherine Adelaja for the Psi Council, 1976. Valentian went stock still behind Silver.
What?
It came out a strangled sound, his bear sitting dazed on its ass, like little Arkasha this afternoon.
It seems important to humans and changelings. I want to understand it.
Reaching back, she touched a part of her shoulder.
You missed this spot.
First, she hit him with a virtual roundhouse punch, and now she was giving him orders, exactly like the queen she was. Silver Merchant was Valentian's kind of woman.
You want to try sex?
He said, his bear's heart pounding like a drum and his eager cock in serious danger of prematurely spilling its seed, like a teenage boy faced with his first naked woman.
I volunteer as a willing sacrifice.
Humans don't launch these types of attacks, she said, instead of responding to his generous offer to be her sex crash test dummy.
Groaning inwardly, Valentian shifted his brain from his engorged cock to his head.
You're right.
As a race, humans generally got on with the business of life while Psi and changelings engaged in a centuries-long power struggle. The revitalized human alliance was making waves, but they didn't do it with indiscriminate violence.
So why now? Silver murmured,
her lashes shadowing her cheeks.
Oh.
Valentian was smug at having petted her into boneless laziness, but he knew that last utterance hadn't been of pleasure.
What aren't you saying, Starlight?
The information is classified. I was briefed only because I'm the director of MNET.
Valentian wanted to rampage bad-temperedly around the room, not because he didn't understand loyalty, but because he wanted Silvers.
You think your classified information is behind the surge of violence?
It would explain Hapma's rhetoric.
Silver knew the empaths had determined the Psynet needed human connections if it weren't to collapse, but no one had worked out how to foster those emotional bonds, not after over a century of ill-treatment of humans by Psy in power. The vast majority of humans hated the Psy. If Hapma had gained access to the report on the need for human energy in the Psynet, they could believe the Psy were planning to force the issue. The irony of it was that the bonds couldn't be forced. The E's were adamant the connections had to be organic.
Secrets cause rot,
Valentian murmured, a profound darkness in his tone that didn't fit the warmth of his nature.
They give fear room to grow.
Silver didn't take her hand from his thigh.
If this information were to go public, it could cause catastrophic panic.
How could the ruling coalition or the empathic collective tell millions of people that the psychic network they needed to survive had a fatal disease without offering them hope of a cure? Silver had been briefed so she could come up with a game plan for MNET's response if and when a leak did occur and the forecast panic led to riots or other chaotic incidents.
Or,
Valentian said,
you make this classified problem public, and all those clever minds working on it might figure out a solution.
Silver gave up trying to open her eyes and turned a fraction to lean deeper into Valentian.
That decision isn't mine.
Apparently not the least discomforted by the physical liberties she was taking, Valentian said,
then let's talk about the decision you have made. In case you've forgotten, it's the one to do with sex.
Heat in his voice, his fingers working muscles that had turned to honey.
How about we start with kisses and ice cream?
Silver mumbled her response.
Kisses aren't on the menu. Neither's ice cream.
I thought you wanted to experience sex.
Intercourse, yes.
I think you have the wrong idea about intimate skin privileges, Starlight.
His breath brushed her ear. His husky words, a near-tactile caress.
We could do the physical act, but that'd teach you nothing about why sex can cause people to do insane things.
Silver made herself open her eyes, though she didn't shift from her position curled into Valentian, despite the fact that she couldn't recall pulling her legs up onto the bed or moving her hand from his thigh to place it over the steady beat of his changeling heart.
Explain.
Sex and emotion,
he murmured.
That's the explosive combination. People kill for love, die for love. But even if it doesn't get that far, affection is a prerequisite to intimate skin privileges in my book. Kisses have to be on the menu, along with a million other small acts that build bonds no one can break.
Silver ignored the latter part of his statement. It was too dangerous.
I don't understand affection.
Let me show you.
A deep rumble.
Take a chance, Silver. If you're going to test your adult control, do it for real. Nothing halfway.
Silver was so drowsy, her muscles so relaxed, she was certain she was already breaching silence. However, she couldn't bring herself to move away. The strength of Valentian's hands, the heat of him pulsing against her, it was good.
You want to convince me to live with emotion?
Never exactly hid that.
His jaw brushed her temple, his stubble abrasive but not in any way painful. What was disquieting was her need to feel it again. Even then, Silver didn't withdraw. She'd made her decision, would not be held hostage to childhood memories and the horror of her mind being crushed by a building roar of noise. She needed to learn who Silver Merchant was without Silence. For this experiment, she would assume nothing, not even that her life depended on purest silence, a truth she'd been taught as a child and never before questioned. Her grandmother would have never lied to her about that, would have never hobbled her. But given all the recent revelations about the flaws in silence and the Psi Council's manipulation of their people, she had to assume that Ina herself might not have had all pertinent information. Most important, she'd stop fighting an undeniable truth. That the only reason she'd permitted Valentian to touch her was that he caused her to react in ways no one else ever had. Rough, tough Valentian Nikolaev had gotten under her defenses from day one.
You have to know one thing before we do this.
She deliberately moved her hand to the bare skin of his forearm. Valentian shuddered.
An uncivilized bear might take that as permission to break the rules about not touching you skin to skin, but since I'm a gentleman bear, I'm going to ask.
Deep and rough, his voice scraped over her skin like he was rubbing his stubbled jaw against the most sensitive parts of her.
Skin contact okay now?
Yes, but that's not what you need to know.
His skin was hot under hers, the dark hairs on his arms giving it a texture that wasn't smooth but wasn't rough either. He had hair on his chest, too. She could feel the springiness of it under her cheek through his shirt.
There's a high chance I'll return to silence.
Her grandmother might not have had all the information, but one truth no one could change. Pre-silence, Silver's sub-designation had been considered extinct. No TPA had ever survived to adolescence, much less adulthood.
I'll take that risk.
Valentian's right hand curved around her throat.
But I should warn you too, Starlight,
he whispered against her ear.
I'm playing for keeps.
Her pulse sped up, her skin flushing as blood surged to the surface in a primal response to the gauntlet Valentian had thrown down. Her first instinct was to stifle the physical response under a wave of Arctic ice. But she was Silver fucking Merchant, and she'd made a decision, would see it through. Valentian wrapped his hand more firmly around her throat. It should have felt like a threat. It felt like something else altogether, the sensation one she didn't have the experience to process. Ignorance was not a concept with which Silver had an acquaintance.
Explain what's happening.
We're happening.
Valentian stroked her throat with a gentleness that did nothing to hide the blatant possessiveness of the contact.
But you're exhausted, and now that I've made you boneless.
Unconcealed smugness.
I'm going to allow you to sleep. The church should give me a sainthood.
Silver yawned, her eyes gritty. Yet she didn't want to stop. Want was a forbidden concept under silence. Under the protocol that stripped Psi of emotion, things were framed in terms of necessity and checks and balances. But that prohibition no longer applied, and Silver was discovering the craving power of want, such as the need to feel Valentian's not rough, not smooth skin against every inch of her. His hand went motionless on her throat without warning.
Will it hurt you to break out of the silence?
No. I have control over the structural scaffolding of my silence.
Ina had made dead certain no merchant child had pain controls built into his or her mind. Silver would not be crippled by an excruciating backlash should she breach the protocol. Valentian began to stroke her throat again.
Good.
A rumbling sound in his throat.
If you get changed and slip into bed, Maya Solnishka, I'll massage you some more.
Silva realized he was negotiating with her, decided the compromise was acceptable.
I need a minute.
Valentian brushed his fingers over her skin once more before getting off the bed. The loss of his earthy scent, his heat, his big, solid presence. It was disorienting enough to cut through her drowsiness.
I'll leave the door slightly ajar,
Valentian said, his eyes ringed by amber and his voice still holding that rough depth that said she was speaking to both parts of him.
If you say my name, I'll hear it.
Silver watched him until he left the room, then got up to ready herself for bed. All the while, she considered the disorientation she'd felt when he broke contact, the sudden howl of emptiness. Emotion was dangerous. It created need, and need created vulnerability. The smart thing would be to step back, return to the cold insulation of silence.
Be yourself.
Words her grandmother had spoken to her when Silver was a child of 10, the two of them standing at a merchant property in the country, the landscape flowing out endlessly in front of them. The wind had tugged at Silver's white smock, unfurled a strand of hair from Ina's chignon.
In a world of those who follow the rules without deviation, Ina had added, those who innovate, even in the shadows, will rule. Never be a carbon copy.
Having changed into white pajama pants printed with the outlines of trees and a simple black tank, Silver brushed out her hair before getting into bed.
Valentian.
He entered so quickly she knew he'd been waiting impatiently for her. Shutting the door behind him, he ran his hand over the light panel to pitch the room into total blackness. She could feel him walking toward her regardless, the size and sheer power of him disrupting the air patterns.
Lie on your front.
In the dark, his voice reached even deeper inside her. Skin aching in a way that wasn't pain, she turned over onto her front and swept her hair to the side out of habit. The bed dipped. Her pulse accelerated.
I'm definitely going to play with your pretty hair now.
A hot breath against the back of her neck, a tug on her skull, as if he'd gently fisted his hand in the unbound strands. His body was a wall of primal power over her.
So soft. I want to hold it in my hands while I kiss you wet and deep.
Silver's breath lost its rhythm. Then Valentian put one big hand on her upper arm. An electrical surge arced through her body, smashing out of every single nerve ending she possessed. Her eyes snapped open, her heartbeat so jagged it was in her throat.
Stop.
Valentian broke contact at once.
You're hurting.
It was an angry charge, the sound all bare.
I am not going to do anything that'll cause you pain.
Silver felt the bed begin to move, as if he were getting off.
Don't go.
A rough, grumbling sound, but his weight came over her again, his elbows braced against the mattress on either side of her head.
I want to bite you right now.
It didn't sound like a playful sexual threat. Fingers curling into the sheets, Silver said,
We rushed it.
Her fault.
No more skin contact tonight. I have to build my tolerance.
Valentian didn't touch her even through her clothing. She could feel the waves of fury coming off him at the thought he'd caused her pain.
Have I ever lied to you?
She should have known the first time she told him the truth when she didn't have to, that Valentian Nikolaev was dangerous to her. He grumbled against her again.
Why do you sound so pissy when I'm the one who's got a right to be mad?
teeth closing on her shoulder, over the delicate cloth of her tank top, but despite his threat, he didn't bite. The pressure was enough. It made her toes curl, the physiological response inexplicable.
"Volusia,"
she said softly, having the sense of calming a wild creature she'd startled.
"I'm not hurt. I was just being silver fucking merchant, trying to do it all right now."
Releasing her shoulder, Valentian came down more heavily over her, his erection a rigid brand against her lower back. Chapter 23. Male bears are excellent and generous lovers, albeit demanding. Be enthusiastic. Be demanding in return. And whatever you do, never, ever look bored. Your gorgeous bear lover could have a surprisingly fragile ego. From the December 2079 issue of Wild Woman magazine, Skin Privileges, Style, and Primal Sophistication. Starlight had fallen asleep after calling him Volusia, which made him feel petted and adored. Valentian had been determined to stay mad regardless, had wanted to grumble some more at her. But half a minute after he'd settled his body onto hers, and while he was still building up his growling words, she'd gone liquid with sleep under him. Good thing he had an ego the size of an elephant, as per Nika, or he might have taken Silver's descent into sleep as a mortal insult. As it was, he wanted to cuddle her close and kiss the life out of her. All was forgiven, because Silver fucking Merchant had fallen asleep under his heavy, powerful bear body. If that didn't betray deepest trust, he'd eat his own foot. Tempting as it was to curl himself around her and play with her hair, stroke her body, he got up and, after pulling a blanket over her, made himself leave. If she'd reacted that badly to his hand on her flesh, she wasn't ready to handle being tucked possessively into his body. Valentian scowled at the memory of how she'd gone so stiff and still.
"No more rushing,"
he said, bear and man in agreement.
"We're going to be as patient as those stupid pandas."
After he left Silver's room, his plan was to head to his own room, but a loud noise had him changing direction. Pavel and Yakov were on the floor of the cavern, apparently in the throes of attempting to murder each other. He hauled them apart with no care for their bodies. The two were damn hard to break.
"Quiet,"
he said in a tone that brooked no disobedience.
"Silver is sleeping."
They gave him identical disgruntled looks.
"Why do we have to be quiet?"
Yakov demanded while his brother tried to fix the bent left arm of his spectacles. He shook them. Hard.
"Because Silver is sleeping. Make any more noise and I'll pound you both flat."
Spectacles on, Pavel straightened his half-torn shirt like it was a tuxedo.
"How come you like her more than us?"
Valentian was well used to that gleam in the other man's eye. He pointed a finger first at Pavel, then at Yakov.
"I'm going to bed. Make sure the clan doesn't fall down around us."
Leaving Stonewater in their care, because despite their current behavior, the twins were powerful and loyal to the pack, and as thick as thieves when not attempting to kill each other, he went to his room and stripped for bed. The erection he'd barely gotten under control after getting out of Silver's bed returned in full force the instant he was alone. Her skin had been so silken under his touch, her body so lithe. She smelled like darkest honey, lush and complicated, and with a hidden bite. He wanted to lick her up, use his tongue on her until her thighs clenched on his head and she pulled his hair so hard it hurt. No control, no distance, just his starlight wild for him. Groaning, but quite willing to torture himself further, he lay down in bed. And his mood shattered, his eyes locked on the ring he kept on his bedside table. It was a deliberate reminder to be vigilant, to never forget the blood that ran in his veins, and the terrible price it had extracted. Stonewater had been the strongest pack in the country in his grandfather Kirill's generation. His father's father was now a deeply wounded man who couldn't bear to live in Denholm, the reason Valentin saw his beloved Babushka Angela only rarely. But in his prime, Kirill had been one of the strongest bears in a proud clan. Back then, Stonewater had controlled such a vast swath of land that in changeling terms, Russia had been all but theirs. Blackedge had taken over a quarter of that territory in the time of the Alpha before Zoya, the wolves becoming increasingly powerful while Stonewater crumbled. Looking back, it was no surprise they'd lost what they had. Stonewater had been under bad management, with the resulting loss of bears to other clans leaving them short-handed, because in the changeling world, you only kept what you could hold, a brutal law that kept the peace. Predatory changelings were hesitant to attack any clan or pack that could protect what was their own. Conversely, clans didn't overreach, conscious they'd get no support from fellow changelings for their arrogance. Which was why Stonewater had pulled back when the wolves started growing stronger than they'd been in previous generations. They'd let part of their territory go, rather than lose hundreds of lives in a pointless territorial battle. It all made sense. Except it hadn't had to be that way. Valentin had been 10 when his father made the decision not to fight the wolves. It should have caused Mikhail Nikolaev incredible anguish that Stonewater was weakening under his leadership, but Valentin's father, Valentin's alpha, had already begun to change from the man who'd taught Valentin how to track, how to semi-shift, how to do 100 other things. The loss of land, however, that wasn't the deepest wound, wasn't the one that bled and bled without pause. Zoya had tried to stanch the flow. Failed. Valentin had come to power on the driving need to fix the worst hurt, heal his clan, but his ascension had instead led to the loss of a quarter of his people. That loss he couldn't ever forget, no matter what else he was doing. Stonewater's festering wound had split families, friendships, lives. It kept him awake every single night. Not the land gone before he was alpha. Not the territory now held by wolves. It was the people. His people. Out there in the darkness all alone. Alphaless because they'd rather live broken and lost than accept Valentin and the tainted blood that ran in his veins. Something brushed his mind. A strange awareness. He frowned. He knew what it felt like to have Psy knock on his brains. Some idiot was always trying to be the one to break changeling shields, but this didn't feel like that. It felt gentler, a caress rather than an attack. Sitting up, he tried to follow the sensation, but it was gone, a gossamer thread whipped away by the jerk of movement. Had Silver reached out to him in her sleep? His fisted hand opened, his bruised heart starting to beat again.
Good night, Starlight.
The ruling coalition of the Psy.
We have a leak. It has to do with the information about the necessity for human minds in the Psynet.
Nikita Duncan.